Well, it's that time again, and by that time, I mean time for me to read another edition of Persiflage to you. Well, actually, probably while you're listening to this, this is the time that you listen to this, and not, in fact, the time that I read this, because although that's happening now while I'm saying this, you won't be listening to it at the same time unless you're hiding in this room somewhere. No, I don't think that's possible. At any rate, I'm today going to read the fifth Persiflage, which was published in paper form on the 19th of April, 2001. And it says right here on the edition, still free, which means that they had not yet begun to charge for Persiflage. And as I believe that never happened, they could all conceivably say still free on them. And maybe they do after this. I haven't really looked at them. And the header is a serious dose of time-wasting nonsense. Hard to argue with that. The first piece is entitled, When We Get Behind Closed Doors. Goodness. So much of what goes on in the world remains closed off and unknown to us. And by us, I mean primarily you. I get around a lot more than you might think. If it weren't for the probing eyes and lenses of investigative reporters, like those hardworking folks at the Weekly World Star or Entertainment Tonight, is that still on? We, you, would never know who Meg Ryan was dating or where Monica Lewinsky got her dresses cleaned. And our lives would be so much the poorer for it. And thank God, or the deity of your choice, for the whistleblowers, those intrepid souls who at great personal cost, who knows if that book deal will really come through, expose the internal machinations of those large and largely malevolent corporations that command our, your, very lives. Let's face it, we all want to know stuff we ain't supposed to know. In that spirit, this week we at Persiflage present a review of a book that blows the lid off another Hollywood myth. Read this, and at least one movie will never seem the same to you again. I, of course, already knew this. Hubris. Well, that's quite the teaser. Anyway, what follows is a review of a book entitled Thumper, From Bambi On Down, which was apparently penned by Harry Robbett and published by the University of Southwestern California Press in 1998. Not sure where the University of Southwestern California is. Here goes. Many people would be surprised to know that the man who said, anything that doesn't kill you will make you stronger, led rather a timid life and died a slow death, having been driven insane by syphilis. But perhaps even more people would be startled by the news that the individual noted for that great line, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all, was in fact extremely foul-mouthed and confrontational. That is the news contained in Harry Robbett's new biography, Thumper, From Bambi On Down. Of course, Thumper, unlike Nietzsche, never penned his most famous line, but only spoke it in his most famous and actually only significant film role. It was a sentiment he would hardly have sympathized with. According to Robbett, Thumper's language on the set was so foul and during filming his ad-libbing so constant that the editors improvised the thumping to take the place of his more vulgar ad-libs and to cover up his almost constant swearing. The sad fact is that a few years earlier, Thumper would never have taken such liberties with the script, but by the time Bambi was made, he was an embittered alcoholic. the story of how he became one is at the core of Robert's book. A good part of Thumper's bitterness stemmed from the fact that he had been on contract with Disney for over 5 years, and yet Bambi was his first feature. He had originally signed on to play Grumpy in Snow White in 1937, but quarreled with supervisor David Hand over his interpretation of the role, and was replaced at the last minute with Grumpy. Anyone familiar with Thumper's brilliant character work in some of the screwball comedies of the 30s has to be made a little wistful by learning that he was dropped and replaced by the mediocre Grumpy. And when you think of some of Thumper's scenes with Fred McMurray in Hooray for Holidays or one of the other shorts they did together, you can't help but wonder what he could have done with Miss White as his foil. Thumper was always difficult to work with, and apparently he got worse as time wore on. Sitting around the Disney lot for the next 5 years without making a single feature, he did make a few VD films for the Office of War Information in 1941, and a short and not very memorable appearance in the propaganda film Mommy, What's a Nazi, early in 1942. He was rejected for active service in the military due to flat feet, apparently all four of them, and profoundly discouraged, he began to drink more heavily. Robert chronicles the years 1938 to 42 in some detail, and it is easily the most interesting part of the book. It was an interesting time in Hollywood, and Thumper was drinking companion to W.C. Fields, Buster Keaton, and Robert Benchley, among others. The anecdotes from this period alone are worth the $35 Canadian cover price. The story of the making of Bambi is dealt with unflinchingly. The behind-the-scenes feuding of the stars and director, the attempts of the studio to cover up Thumper's drinking and womanizing, it's all here. The gritty details more than explain Disney's dropping Thumper right after the release of Bambi. The last part of the book makes for very depressing reading. Thumper's physical and financial decline. Like so many stars of the stage and screen before and since, he was unwise in his investments. His increased paranoia and his obsessive hatred of Bugs Bunny. His pathetic attempts to slander Bugs publicly were squashed by a press sympathetic to the new star and highly suspicious of the aging, alcoholic has-been hair. It was the final humiliation of Thumper when neither Walter Winchell nor Luella Parsons would return his calls. He died an embittered old bunny in 1952. Thumper is an amazing behind-the-scenes look at old Hollywood and one of its great underrated character actors, but it concentrates too much on the depressing side of things. One wishes to know more about Thumper's early days and his struggle to break the rabbit barrier in films. We should not forget that it was he who paved the way for Bugs Bunny, Peter Cottontail, and Roger Rabbit. Perhaps someone else, hopefully as diligent a researcher and as fine a writer as Harry Robert, will see fit to take on that task. Hubris. Well, that was pretty interesting. I didn't know any of that. And I've seen Bambi once or twice. Possibly three times. I don't really know. Next up, a poem, which is entitled An Angry Young Poem. And is penned by someone named Martin Ising. You tiniest of picadors, your tiny lance wounds no one. Diatribes of nothingness, you noisily fling into a black void. Stop hanging your tiny hat on the hat racks of the great. Your head is too tiny. That's good. And last up, as per usual, quotations. And they are said to be used wisely, or the advice is to use them wisely, I guess. Dip him in the river who loves water, William Blake. Is one's life going to be a round of cutting lawns? Is this what you were born for? To work for the welfare of lawns? The venerable Satsito Bhikkhu, apparently. And finally, Sunday is as necessary as death. Anton Kuhn. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the Fifth Persiflage podcast. Coming up next week will be, rather unsurprisingly, the Sixth Persiflage podcast. And we'll continue to do it in that order. The same order as the numbers, which go up. And we'll see how that plays out. Anyway, goodbye.